Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Identifying.
Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studio. Jim Beaver here with... Yes, with another show. I, you know what? It's funny. After 30+ episodes into this thing, I always do the same intro. And this is one of those cases where I was like, you know what? We are going to stop, reverse it. We're going to do something a little bit different today. So I completely mid-thought, completely paused what I was saying, and I was going to reverse it. You know, they say that once in a while, like we all get in our routines, right? Where it's the same thing day after day. You drive to work the same way. You go to the bank the same way, the grocery store the same way. Your morning routine, exactly the same thing. The way you get out of bed, the things you do. Everything gets into a routine, right? And I think with this show, it's the same habit. Same thing every single week I've done for 100+ weeks. And for some odd reason today, I completely broke the train of thought and completely switched it up. So yes, this is going to be the Weird Mood Project Action on Podcast One today. I'm Jim Beaver. Welcome to the show. I don't know why we started off such a weird way today, but I think that is definitely a good thing once in a while. Anyways, you can give me a follow on social media. It's at JimBeaver15 if for some odd reason you do want to chat with me on social media or know what the heck I got going on. We got a fun show today. You know, I got done with the UTV World Championship. I raced this past weekend in my Polaris Razor. We got a solid, rock-solid finish. You want the full story, go over to my other show, The Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Check that out. Subscribe on iTunes here on Podcast One as well. It was definitely a fun, eventful race. We had a solid finish, but there was also another major motorsports event going on this weekend in the off-road world. The San Felipe 250 down there in Baja, Score International puts it on, and my good friend Andy McMillan, Red Bull athlete, took home the overall victory. First time he's won in San Felipe in like over a decade. Last time he was racing with his dad in a Class 1 car. But anyways, caught up with Andy McMillan earlier this week, did this epic interview, 20+ minutes long. I think you're going to really enjoy this one. If you like off-road, if you like motorsports, you know, it's him being really candid on the sport, things like that. I think it's a rock-solid interview. This goes back to my off-road roots. Next week's guest, we got one I'm really, really excited about, Amber Balkin. NASCAR driver, and she's trying to carve out her way in NASCAR. Also part of CMT's new TV show Racing Wives that drops in June. So I think she's not a wife, she's actually a racer, but she's on Racing Wives. Weird the way that works out. But that's a fun interview we're going to drop next week as well. So lots of good stuff coming on Project Action. I think you guys are going to enjoy the upcoming interviews. Please, if you haven't already, head over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button here to Project Action, leave a rating or review. If you leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the body of the view, when I see it, I will follow you back on social media. My promise to you. So make sure and do that. Also want to tell you guys, I partner with my good friends at MyMedic. I like action sports. I like off-road racing. I like going out on dirt bikes and my Polaris Razors. I'm a hunter. Anything you do in the outdoors, we get banged up, scratched up, You know, you never know when you fall, hurt yourself. MyMedic has some of the best first aid kits in the entire world. Yes, in the entire world. Everything from, you know, all the way up to, you know, I mean, full on like surgical kits for in the field type of stuff. So check them out, MyMedic.com. Use the coupon code JimBeaver and it'll get you 15% off. And you guys know that I love sports and I like betting on sports. My good friends at betonline.ag got me dialed in, you know, and March Madness, yep, it's over. But the excitement in sports in April is huge. I'm talking huge, H-U-G-E, all capitals, huge. Baseball, full effect, massive baseball fan here. The Masters, it's this weekend. Yeah, drinking beer and golf, they go hand in hand. And, you know, NBA and NHL playoffs, they are right around the corner. Well, you know what? To get in on all the action, sign up today at betonline.ag for a free account. And when you do, use the promo code PODCAST1, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to give you a 50% welcome bonus right now. Yes, right now. And, you know, I am a massive, massive hockey fan. And I was going for the Coyotes. They haven't made the playoffs in a long, long time. And you know what? We were almost there. And you know what happened? We didn't make it, but maybe next year. But the good news is I'm like right in the middle of Las Vegas and Phoenix. So I get to also be a Golden Knights fan. And the Golden Knights, yep, they are in the playoffs. And you know what? I'm going to lay some money down on the Golden Knights. And you know what? Don't sit on the sidelines. Be just like me. Get in on the action. Don't forget when you do, use the promo code PODCAST1 or even easier, text BETNOW to 238-669 and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And you know, everybody's got a to-do list. Mine, they're like a mile long every single day. Pay some bills, do some dry cleaning. Me, hey, I got to do some interviews, right? Go grab some groceries. Well, also got to stop by and get a six-pack at the end of the day, right? Well, you know what? Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do, go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you, that is you listening right now, could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket just may be the most rewarding thing that you do today. And you also know, if you listen to the show for longer than about 15 minutes, that I am a massive car guy, and every car comes with its share of stories. You know what? Sometimes you got a ding in your bumper. It's when you're nervously picking up a first date. You got a luxury package, and you know what? You were able to spring for that after you got a big promotion. Sometimes you save some mileage on your hot rod by riding your bike all summer. Well, you can't put a price tag on your stories. But now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and magically, all your car's details are going to pop right up. Then you answer a few questions about your ride. Do you have nav? Do you got moonroof? Leather? What do you got? Heated, cooled seats? Well, you're going to watch as they bump up your value. You got high mileage? You like to drive like me? Well, now you knew it was going to ding your bumper, or ding your wallet, but now you'll know just how much. And you know what? You can plan ahead when you know that. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer on your hot rod sent in just minutes, which you can take to your local certified dealer, and you can cash out or trade in your vehicle. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas. And with that, we are going to roll right into this amazing interview with my good friend, Andy McMillan. All right, and I'd like to welcome our guest this week, my good friend and Score San Felipe. It's called 250, but it's actually a 350-mile race. Score San Felipe 250 winner, Andy McMillan. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Hey, Jim. Thanks. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back on.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at my text, and I was like, shoot, we got a lot to catch up on. It's been like a year and a half-ish, maybe, since we've had you on. Shoot, since then, like, you've signed, I think, a Red Bull deal for the whole truck. Last time we had you on, I know we talked about you getting kind of the helmet deal and, like, the whole Top Golf story and everything. But, yeah, I mean, right. Now you've got the full truck branding and the whole works, man. Congrats on that, I guess. Well, I mean, that was a while ago, but we haven't caught up since then.
Yeah, it was, you know, Revel came on, you know, with an athlete sponsorship deal, which is basically like a hat and helmet deal. And in the middle of 2017 for the Baja 500. And it was really cool. We came out and I actually ended up winning that race. And then it was exactly 1 year later for the Baja 500 last year in 2018. About a month before the race, they came to me and told me that we were going to be doing a full livery and a full team sponsorship. So that was really cool. You know, we talked last time about how I was with Red Bull, let's see, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And then we kind of had a mutual parting of the ways, and to be back with that brand and just everything that brand stands for, and to be associated with them is just, it's just really cool. And yeah, we won Parker last year, in 2018, the first race of the year. And then it's been kind of a dry spell, ever since then. And, you know, in this game, you know, to keep the sponsors happy and to keep everything moving forward, you know, winning is important. And I'm a super competitive guy and I love to win. So to kind of get that monkey off my back and get another one under our belt this last weekend felt really good.
Yeah, you know, and Trophy Trucks, it's a crazy animal right now, because you talk about winning, and, you know, you and I both know there's like 5 to 10 guys that really have their stuff together and can win on any given weekend. And then there's the guys that, yeah, you know, I'd say there's another 5 or 10 that, you know, they can sneak in there and take a win like we've seen before. But, man, like, it is so ridiculously hard to take a Trophy Truck win right now with the level of competition. I mean, we go back a decade like you were talking, and, I mean, it was like you just finished a race and you were guaranteed almost a top five.
Right.
Now, dude, I mean, it's, you know, we're talking things are getting separated by seconds at the finish line. It's so, so tough. You got to, I don't even want to say bring your A game. There's luck involved. There's, you know, just one lug nut goes on wrong in a pit, you know, that costs you 15 seconds and the race could be over, you know?
Right. It just, the level of competition and where the sport's at right now, it's just super competitive and it's actually really fun, you know, to be in the sport right now. The sport's doing really well. It's really healthy, getting really good ratings. You know, the athletes are getting a lot of love from sponsors. And yeah, just the level of competition, it's just insane. And like you said, there used to be like 5 guys that every race kind of had a chance to win. And now it's literally like, I would say even 10, maybe 15 guys that all have solid programs, solid trucks, solid support team. 'Cause in the end, that's what really makes our racing, you know, Baja racing is really interesting because of the chasing aspect. So the United States races, there's not a lot of chasing involved, and there's just remote stationary hits.
Yeah.
Whereas in Baja, it's just an open playing field. So if you wanted to stick someone, you know, in the middle of nowhere somewhere to have a tire for you, you can. So it's a lot more logistically challenging trying to pick the spots where you think you're going to have a problem, where you know you might have a problem, and having your guys and your support crews in the right place at the right time should something happen. So, you know, there's just so many variables with off-road racing in general, and then you just throw in the variable of Baja itself, and it's just insane. And like you said, you know, a little bit of luck on your side doesn't hurt, and I definitely had quite a bit of luck on my side this last weekend, starting 27th. It was just the dust off the start. It was just painful, you know, just to be driving like that and knowing guys like Rob and R. Sierra or out front, you know, relatively clean air. It was just, I was just thinking the whole time, man, those guys are just running away. Here I am just driving through the dust, trying not to make a mistake. And it was excruciating. It was painful.
Yeah. Well, and this one, I know you'd said it, you had a little bit of luck on your side. So explain to me, I just caught glimpses. Obviously I was racing this weekend too, just here in the States, but what happened coming out of the summit? So did you actually do a full rollover and land on your wheels? Like I hear all these conflicting stories on the internet. What actually happened, Andy? Because I know like there had to have been a moment there where you were just a little like a pucker moment. Oh, this is over.
Oh man. It was, I thought for sure the race was over. So coming out of the summit, we had a 30-mile highway section, before the summit from race mile 140 to 170, all the way through Valley de Trinidad up the Goat Trail.
Okay.
Up to the Goat Trail. And I was sitting in seventh car on the road, started 27th, worked my way up to seventh on the road. And I was behind Robbie, going up the goat trail, up the summit. He pulled over on top of the summit and I didn't see any dust in front of him and I had clear air. And so for the first time that day, I had some clean running and I thought, okay, don't be stupid. Don't make a mistake. Don't hit a rock. Cause up and over the summit, you know, it's super gnarly, rocky, yeah. Rock climbs. It's just the gnarliest, you know, rock crawl that you can imagine. And even on the bottom of the summit this year, instead of staying in the sand wash, we turned left onto the old high road. And we hadn't run that in probably 10 years in a race, or at least I haven't. So it was super washed out and, you know, rocks all over the course. And I was just really just, I wanted to buy my time because I was going to get to about mile 230 where the desert kind of opened up and you can kind of run fast. And then I was going to start running hard from there. And about 20 miles before that, just before race mile 210, we were coming across a sand wash. In pre-running, I had the note mark, you know, bad ditch, slow down. And during pre-running, I always rolled through it. Well, during the race, you got your helmet on, you're in a race truck, you think, you know, you're somewhat invincible. So lesson learned there. I tried to clear the ditch and came up about 3 feet short.
Oh.
And my front tires hit it, but my rear tires cased into the face of the opposite side. And it kicked me up onto the nose, hit the right front nose, and then sent me like into a side barrel roll. And so we rolled onto the passenger side, up over on the driver's side, and then back down. And it all kind of settled, and we came to a stop, and I couldn't see anything. Made sure me and my co-rider were talking, made sure we were okay. Couldn't see anything. And I was like, man, it kind of feels like we're on our tires again. And there's a big cloud of dust. I'm sitting sideways in the course. I'm like nervous that someone's coming up behind me, you know, after this big ditch and they might do the same thing or they're going to come charging through the dust. And look up and I see the tree line and it looks like the trees are going up to the sky, which is a good sign. And I was like, man, I think we're on our wheels. And so I put it in first gear and it was sandy too, because it was crossing a sand wash. Almost got stuck trying to pull out of there. And then we had punctured the right rear tire during the rollover. And then so got out to change the flat and my hydraulic jack on the passenger side was damaged in the roll as well.
Okay.
And it actually pushed the bottom base plate and up into the cylinder, up into the can. And so we had to get out our backup jack and we were in the sand. So we had to get out this plate. It was just, luckily we landed on our wheels and we were able to keep going. And I'm just amazed that nothing was, you know, the front bumper was bent pretty bad. The hood was almost ripped off, which we had to stop about 30 miles later and rip off. But, the truck itself was unbelievably in one piece and two trucks got around me. We started moving again and I was like, man, I got to make sure that this thing's okay. You know, I don't want to crash again because we have a tie rod that's bad or about to break off. And so after about 10 miles, I kind of started picking up the pace again and just said, you know what, screw it. We probably lost 3 or 4 or 5 minutes there. We might still be close on time. Let's just keep pushing and see what happens.
Man, that's wild. So, you know, and I know this
one. It was wild.
You know, and I know this one, you know, you talk about pushing. This was an interesting one because I've raced San Felipe's before where they call them a 250 and it's actually only like 210 miles, you know, and they're like, oh, it's 250K.
Yeah.
This one, complete opposite, man. This one was like one of the longest San Felipe's ever. And I know those ones that are like 200 miles. Guys are finishing like 3.5, 4 hours. Like it's a full on.
Right.
I mean, it's like we're talking about, it's a race in Laughlin. You don't have time for anything. You know, it's like a short course race. But, you know, how's the approach a little bit different on this one?
It was I knew the course was difficult, right? Because San Felipe in general, just going through, you know, the gnarliest whoops you can imagine for 240, 50 miles, you know, there's some sand wash that breaks that up, but even those after pre-running start to get really chewed up. I knew it was going to be a grueling course and I knew that, you know, you had to play it smart and keep your truck underneath you, which, you know, I did for most of the race, except for one short little section where I rolled it. But yeah, I knew that it was going to come down to who can keep, you know, who can keep a clean truck, who can make it to the finish and be smart and not make any mistakes. luckily my mistake, you know, didn't cost me the race. And I think, you know, definitely some luck on my side, but it was really interesting. And I actually really liked it because there's a lot more variable terrain going up and over the summit, you know, across the high desert there, Laguna Salada, lots of different types of terrain and the longer course. I think, I really enjoyed it. You know, I don't like a true sprint race where it's just pedal to the metal and see who's got the biggest cojones and can hold it wide open through this section for the longest time and who can make it through. I like and enjoy the mental aspect and the mental challenge of racing in Baja and trying to be smarter than your competitors and trying to be smarter than the course and not letting the course beat you, but picking your spots of where you're going to go fast, where you're going to go slow, and just kind of sticking to that game plan and not let anything get to you. You know, my rollover, even though we rolled, I still stuck to my same game plan, you know, right after I rolled, which was, you know, I was going to push at 2:30 and just hold on and see what happens. And it crazily, it worked out.
Yeah. Well, this one's got to feel pretty gratifying because it's been what? It's been over a decade since you've won at San Felipe, right?
Yeah, I've never won San Felipe in a truck. In 2004, my first San Felipe, I finished second in class one to my uncle by 1 second. And then in 2005, that one hurt. And then in 2005, my dad and I won it overall in a class one car. We set the fastest average speed for the course ever, like 63.5 miles an hour.
Which is blistering
fast.
That was
when it was a true, like, 240 miles.
Yeah, that's crazy fast for San Felipe.
Yeah, and especially in a class one car, you know, because, you know, back then with the size of the bumps were then, the class one cars had 35-inch tires and had a stock LS1 engine, and my car weighed 3,300 pounds. That was a lot of fun. I got close a couple times in 2011 and 2012 to winning it in a truck and just always came up short. And I was just like, man, this is never going to happen. San Felipe just doesn't like me anymore. So it was good to, it was really good to get this win. And for me and my team and my sponsors and, you know, just gives you that renewed energy and motivation that, you know, keep staying on the same track, keep believing in yourself and your team and keep working hard and never give up because good things will happen.
Yeah. Well, and I know, you know, obviously you got some momentum in your favor right now. What's the schedule look like this year, Andy? I'm assuming the rest of the score races and possibly Vegas Torino maybe?
Yeah, I think just the rest of the score races. You know, there's three more, you know, starting with the 500, then the September Lucerna race, the 400, and Ensenada, and then the Baja 1000. You know, with the draw order nowadays of how SCORE is doing it, I think that's why you saw a lot of entries at San Felipe is because how you finish San Felipe is how you start the 500.
Yeah.
And then Lucerna, the September race, is another random draw. And then how you finish that race is how you start the Baja 1000. So you're kind of committed to a full SCORE series if you want to have a shot at winning the Baja 500 and the Baja 1000, which most of the top guys do. You know, which I actually kind of appreciate and kind of like because I love racing in Baja. That's where I started racing. That's where I grew up driving. And to have a lot of the top guys, you know, in contention and going for a championship, I think it'll really be a true testament to who really wins the championship and deserves the championship when all the big guys are going after it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the year unfolds.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I think it throws just a little bit different strategy into the game this year. And that's one thing, you know, off-road, we run, you know, a lot of the time same tracks year after year. So anything we can do to shake it up, you know, in something like this, like you said, I think there's just a little added element with SCORE this year, you know, something a little bit different. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
I think so. And I think it started, you know, they set the stage with San Felipe and doing a much longer course and more difficult and some newer sections. And I had a lot of fun. I mean, I was telling everyone, even if we didn't end up winning, it was so much fun driving that course. And, you know, from the sand washes to the mountains, to the deserts, you know, back to finishing right on the beach of the Malecón in San Felipe, it was really cool. It really brought back old memories of when I used to go down and race in Baja and watch my dad race in Baja. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, one last question. Metomi Wash, man, I know we were getting all kinds of reports out of it. You know, I've been down there through there when it's been pretty bad, but it seems like this year it was kind of like next level bad.
You know, it was what made it challenging is normally when we race San Felipe, we always go from west to east, down Metomi Wash.
Yeah, that's when I've always raced it. It's been down it.
Yeah, and so this year, you know, going up it, you know, in itself was a challenge. It's a very soft wash. It gets probably the most rain and wash and you know, the most water flows through Metomi. And we've seen the most change through Metomi over the years. When those mountains get a lot of rain, it just goes right down into Metomi and floods it out all the way down to the beach. So, you know, that creates tons of rocks everywhere and really, really soft sand. And then it exposes more rocks, too. It doesn't just wash them down and just scatter them everywhere, but it also exposes the stuff that's hidden down underneath. And that really created a challenge up toward the end of the wash. I guess you can call it the narrows or what have you, but there's basically, you're basically going through a narrow canyon, and then there's these huge, you know, rocks the size of our truck and half the size of our truck all scattered in the middle of the course. And we had to pick our way around them and crawl over some of them and you know, hopefully not get high centered or not pinch a tire and get a flat. So actually when I came through on race day, I had made up maybe three or four spots, right before Metomi, had a good run up Metomi and then got to the narrows and, there was three or four trucks sitting there and I was like, oh man, here we go. 'Cause you're kind of just anticipating that, you know, something's going to happen there on race day.
Yeah.
And Lofton was sitting in front of me. A truck was off to the right of Lofton that was stuck. And then I think Robbie and Corey Kezar were in front of Lofton trying to get through this rock section. And actually, just as I pulled up right behind Lofton and Lofton started going and I was like, well, I'm just going to follow him. But then he roosted so that he didn't get stuck. He just slammed on the gas and it created this big dust cloud. I couldn't see anything. So I came to a stop and waited for the dust to clear and just wanted to be patient. And it was funny, actually, Lofton made it through. And then I follow him and I make it through. And as I'm going through these rock sections, I see a guy running with his helmet on and a Fox racing suit. And my co-rider's like, I think that's Lofton's co-rider that's running next to us right now. And it was so funny at the time. But then it was also awesome because Lofton had to end up stopping at the end of this section to let his co-rider come and catch up because come to find out the co-rider was up helping the other guys get through this little narrow section. So it actually kind of worked out really well for me. I was able to make up a couple spots there and continue my race kind of without a hiccup. So that was nice, but karma came back to bite me in the ditch at the bottom of the summit. That's for sure.
That's one thing about off-road, man. The karma always comes back one time or another, right?
It really does. It really does. I really believe in it. You know, I really believe if you're a good person, you do good stuff, you stay humble, you know, good things will happen to you. And for the most part, that's true until you get a little ahead of yourself and you get a little bit too confident like I was. And you know, that's what's crazy about off-road racing is one blink of an eye, one millisecond lapse in concentration. You know, you're making probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions of decisions throughout the race on where to put, you know, where to steer the truck, where to hit the brakes, where to hit the gas, when to shift, when to go slow, when to go fast. You know, are there going to be fans on the outside of this corner? Can I take this line? Should I take the next line? Where is this guy pitting? Where am I pitting? It's unreal. And most of the time to win the race, you have to have no lapses of concentration and a perfect day to win. And I was just fortunate to have one little lapse of concentration and it didn't end up costing me the race. And for that, I'm super thankful. It's just, I still can't believe that we still had a shot to win the race toward the end. I tried to give it away toward the end as well. I hit a big rock coming into Zoo Road and got another flat and I thought my race was over for sure. And we just kept charging, kept pushing and didn't give up.
Yeah. Well, I think it shows how tough that race actually was this year, you know, because you're talking about, hey, we had this rollover, lost some time there, had a flat, you know, and you're thinking the race is over, and here you go and win. And, you know that's a brutally tough race because you had those problems, which means everybody else had problems that were a lot bigger than that, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I like that the course was so much longer. Because a regular 250 is super difficult in itself,
and
you're wasted at the end. You know, it's just so rough and so grueling and so mentally challenging. And then you throw in another 50, 100 miles on top of that, and it just accentuates it. It was just crazy how the race played out that, you know, most other guys had numerous issues and problems, and we were just the one that was able to have the least amount of downtime to win the race.
Yeah. Well, Andy, I appreciate the time as always, my friend. Congratulations on the win. I guess you got to be pretty stoked. You're kind of in the number one spot heading to the 500, right?
Yeah. So that's an added bonus to winning this race is starting up front of the Baja 500. I did read that the Baja 500 is going to be two at a time starts.
Oh.
So we'll see.
That's news
what that
to
means
me.
For
That's
me.
Awesome.
Not really sure yet, but you know, starting up toward the front at any Baja race is a big advantage. I can't wait for the Baja 500. It's my favorite race of the year, and we're gonna go get them.
All right. Well, I appreciate the time, Andy. Congrats again on the win, my friend, and definitely talk soon.
Thanks, Jim. Really appreciate you having me on. Thanks for everything you do for us and our sport as a whole and getting the word out there. And we really appreciate everything you do, bud.
Andy McMillan does not disappoint on the racetrack or when you're doing an interview with him. So big shout out to my boy, Andy McMillan, on his big, big win there at the San Felipe 250. And, with the start of baseball season, Podcast One Sportsnet has your bases covered. Get your fix with home run shows like Dan Patrick, Rich Eisen, and Baseball and Chill. Don't miss new episodes of these shows and more all summer long right here on Podcast One Sportsnet. And thank you guys for tuning in to Project Action on Podcast One here from the Polaris Razor Studio. Check out my other show, The Down and Dirty Show, and The Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition. Both of those coming to you on Podcast One as well as my website, downanddirtyshow.com. Give me a follow at JimBeaver15. And make sure and subscribe to Project Action and my other shows. They're both in the same feed. They're on iTunes as well. And leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the review, and I will follow you back on social media when I see those. So, thank you guys. Next week right here in Project Action, it is NASCAR driver Amber Balkan. I think you guys are going to enjoy that one. Hopefully you guys enjoy your week and your weekend, and we will see you again next time right here on Project Action on Podcast One.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.